Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Keisha King Show, where we'll be discussing culture, faith, and politics, all geared towards the next generation. When you leave this show, you'll be ready to get up, get out, and go do something. Let's get started.
Donald Trump came in, and here's where Black people got it wrong. He came in and said, I'm going to do more for Black Americans mm-hmm. than any other president has done. Mm-hmm. Bam. That's a vetting tool.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This time.
Are you ready to get down?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Keisha King Show, where we discuss faith, culture, and politics, all geared towards the next generation. Well, we have another in-studio guest for you today. I am so honored to welcome candidate for City Council, Reginald Blunt.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you, Reginald, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about local politics. I know we do a lot of national politics on this show. We talk about state politics also because of our great governor, Governor Ron DeSantis. But I want to bring it down even just to the lower level of local politics, which is where your vote is going to count the most. This is the place where your everyday life is going to be affected the most. Although, considering Biden, it seems like national politics is right inside of our home, but we'll talk about that for another day. Reginald, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I am a native of Jacksonville, Florida. Grew up in Grand Park, still in that area. Went to local schools. I also graduated from Edward Waters College, and then went into the military back in 87. Served in the military, 4 combat tours, Iraq, Desert Storm, 2 tours in Afghanistan, Bosnia, Kosovo. And when I retired from the military, I got picked up by Florida State College in Jacksonville, where I'm an adjunct there. I worked in adult continuing education, and now I'm back here in Jacksonville to serve.
Okay. So 4 tours. Well, first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And you also used to like jump out of planes and stuff, right?
Yes, I was in special operations. Yeah, I was in special operations, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, for all those military people. I was also air assault. That's repelling from helicopters. We did a lot of training. What happened is back during the 9/11, mm-hmm. When we started deploying, they had a lot of, I must almost call CA, civil affairs. And a lot of civil affairs teams was getting killed. Mm. I mean, they were insider attacks. I mean, they were losing them left and right. So they actually forced me in the special operations.
In America?
No, over in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the civil governance teams. Mm-hmm. So they were being killed at an alarming rate. So they started having to train people out of the regular force mm-hmm. to go special operations. And I ended up going. I didn't want to go. I was going to retire. I said no. The Army said yes. So the Army won, Reggie zero.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, so I actually got pulled into special operations under the U.S. Army Special Operations Command. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I was at, I got deployed. Then they sent me to Fort Bragg under the Directorate of Civil Affairs and Psychological Operations. Next thing you know, I was in airborne school. I was already air assault qualified. They were pushing SEER training. lot of stuff you really got to be in shape for.
Okay.
And then when they weren't sending me to war, they were pushing me out of airplanes. So when I'm 55 years old going out of an airplane, I said, something's wrong with this.
Oh, wow.
And they were, oh my gosh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, you said psychological affairs.
Psychological operations.
PSYOPs, right. Yes. Psychological operations. Can you see some of the tactics of psychological operations that are going on now in the country?
Yes. PSYOP is something I've seen. I didn't work, you know, we kind of work side by side, but we're two separate entities, but I know about it. And psychological operations is simply this. I'm going to influence you to do what I want you to do, whether it's leaflets coming out of an airplane, whether it's radio. And what's happening in here, especially, and I might get in trouble with the press on this one, for Black Americans, I'm seeing the greatest display of psychological operations on a population with military precision. Because when you can put out information about a candidate or about a narrative, and they just hit it over and over and over again, and next thing you know, you're actually believing what they're saying instead of looking at it for yourself. And I'm seeing it widespread, especially in the Democratic Party. Black people are conservative.
Yeah.
Black people are conservative. Yeah. Church, God, family. But what the news media puts out is that, like when they said the Republicans and the conservatives under Trump. Well, I don't think Trump was conservative like we think.
But Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Yet they put it out. So instead of conservative being something that we are, they made it something that they think we're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's PSYOP.
Yes.
Because they actually make us believe, preachers and everybody, that we're not conservative. They've been able to convince us that, because if we were, Black people wouldn't be voting like they vote.
Right.
They wouldn't be voting for trans stuff. They wouldn't be voting to, you know, just allowing everybody in the country, because it affects everybody. It affects the tax base. But when they put out bad stuff over and over and over and over again, next thing, the one thing they couldn't do is Black people aren't jumping around about the border. They're like, that's really not our issue. Black people didn't buy that. They're like, well, we're catching heck, almost, what they call it, hell? We're catching hell down here.
Yeah.
So they didn't buy that. So they moved on to something else.
And remember too, when they were trying to say that they were whipping the Haitians.
Yeah.
Who were coming over illegally are those, I think they were from Haiti, yeah.
Yes.
They were trying to say that the horse reins, I mean, this is the extent to which they will go to push this narrative or further psychologically damage Black Americans to create this narrative that, you know, anything that the Democrat Party hasn't sanctioned, that's racism.
Yeah, and they kept doing it. Notice how they were showing it over and over. And I think that's something that Black Americans really didn't jump on. They try to push it. Some people saying, oh, they're whipping these Black people.
Yeah.
I don't think it caught on very well.
No, I don't.
But they tried to push it knowing, and these people knew that those were the reins for the horses
guiding
them. They knew it, but they wanted to make it a racial thing. And you know, it's terrible.
It's terrible
what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, just a kind of side note. You know, we have laws in marketing. Like, there are laws that you cannot mislead people. You can't have deceptive marketing. You can't market to children a certain way. I wish there were laws when people ran for office that you couldn't, like, lie. That would be great. that you couldn't just say anything or do anything. Actually, I think there are some laws, but most people don't even enforce those things. But anyway, just a little side note. But why don't you tell us why you are running for city council?
I'm running because, and this is just to put it on a baseline, when you can be gone for 30 years, now I never lost my Florida residency. I kept my residency. I always voted as a Floridian. So I kept that. And you can do that in the military. But when you can come back after 30 years of service, and go to certain areas in town, especially where I live, over the Grand Park and the old areas, and it almost hasn't even changed.
Wow.
Something is terribly wrong, which means we have Black American council people.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Black mayor, and nothing still has changed. So the narrative that the Republicans aren't doing anything, the white man's not doing anything. Well, wait a minute. Aren't we running these places? We've been running it for the last, 40 years?
Ooh.
and nothing has happened. And when I say, plus I worked in governance, civil military, that's what civil affairs is. Mm-hmm. And my thing is that if they aren't going to do anything about it, because I've been all over the world, I've seen all kinds of situations, not always all bad. Some of them were good. Mm-hmm. I just want to come back and throw my piece in there to try to provide some leadership mm-hmm. in moving these agendas to get these areas, get the infrastructure built up
yeah.
to where, you know, people are proud to live there. And too many times it's just not happening. And there has been some improvement,
yeah.
but nothing. I mean, you go across the water, they got cranes everywhere.
Yeah.
Just building up. Mm-hmm. And these places are dark. There's, you know, they have to.
And we don't yeah. mean like by the people. You yeah. know, you ever hear yeah. like those stories that they say like racist people that walk into them, if there's like a lot of black people, mm-hmm. be like, you know, it's dark in here. Anyway, yeah. sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the last major project, especially in the, now the at-large seat is citywide, and we can talk about that. But mm-hmm. one of the areas that needs improvement is the last major project in the historically black areas was the Legend Center. Mm-hmm. And there has been nothing beyond that.
Yeah.
No improvement, no, you know, they paved the roads, they've put lights up, but nothing that changes the appearance mm-hmm. of that area in particular.
So yeah. what are some of your ideas that you have to do just that, to change the area, what it looks like, making people proud to live there, where it's not just look. It looks dark and desolate.
Well, the one thing, the first they have to do is I would like to see audits done, real audits, because you got to chase the money.
Woo.
Too much money. Yeah. yeah. Money is coming. I mean, there. Listen, when you have projects such as the Soutelle Road Diet, where mm-hmm. they were going to turn a 4-lane into a 2-lane for all kinds of reasons, safety, mm-hmm. beautification or whatever, you have a price tag attached to that project. Let's mm-hmm. just say $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take $5 million to do this road project. Well, actually, it only costs $2.3
million. Mm-hmm.
Where's the overage going?
Mm.
Where's that excess going? Well, right. it goes back into the coffers.
Mm-hmm.
Some people in the neighborhood have asked, well, why can't they move the money to a different project? They could, but that's not how the laws work. So it goes back into the city coffers and it doesn't get attached to the next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
That money has to be spent some kind of way. So you have to ask, well, where is the money?
So they have to spend that money.
Right. And it seems like historically, they always over budget projects
mm-hmm.
in these communities.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a certain amount of money that does not get spent. Why mm-hmm. is that?
Why is that?
So
that's a really right. good question. Why is that?
And so my theory, and I'm going to say a theory because I don't have all the facts in the paperwork, but when you do that, you always have this excess money left over. And is it historically a way to just get money to funnel other projects that aren't in that area?
Mm.
I'd be interested in that. That's why you need audits.
Yeah.
The next thing is you need to respect the community CRAs. And these are these action committees because the people have to be a part of developing their own community.
Yes.
You don't just throw up a 5G tower, put stuff in a neighborhood community and people don't know anything about
right.
it. And that's been one of the biggest complaints. One of the ideas that we have is you have to put something in a community economically that's going to serve as an anchor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like when you looked at Gateway Shopping Center, that was, I think it came out in the late 40s, 50s.
Mm-hmm.
What was the anchors? JCPenney, mm-hmm. Montgomery Ward, that held it down and things built up around it.
Right.
And that's what these.
That's just like any other. That's mm-hmm. what they do in any other part of the city.
Right. And you build around that. That's what creates the economics. Well, mm-hmm. those communities in that particular area don't have any anchor. I think they have what, Dollar Generals, a bunch of liquor stores, a bunch of mm-hmm. crab shops, but nothing that will want people to move. Yeah,
not the crab shops, y'all.
Move in that
which I
area.
I love me some crabs. I don't get it twisted.
So people have been talking about a Bob Hayes sports complex for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bob Hayes, we can't use the name because it's a family name, so mm-hmm. you don't want to get into that. So we came up with a project that's called the Northwest Stadium and Business Center Complex.
Okay.
And what it is that when you build something that big as an anchor in the community, then you want to, most of the time they'll say, well, who's going to occupy this stadium?
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to make money?
Yeah.
You know, if it's a big $65 million project, how are you going to pay for this? Well, you can get teams like the Jacksonville Armada, which is a soccer team, mm-hmm. to make it their home stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, in this project, we have attached to a police substation, fire station. On one side of stadium, we actually have a business center complex with office spaces and large conference rooms, because people in that area shouldn't just have to go to the Prime Osborne. It's expensive. Why can't they have something on that town, on that side of town, that galvanizes community? Indoor pool, locker rooms. The stadium also has an Olympic-sized track, and it can serve as a concert stadium.
Okay.
So it's really a multiplex stadium.
And then you said also there's business space there too.
Yeah, business offices for entrepreneurs or businesses. It's close proximity to the airport, is at least my vision, rather than deeply embedded in the community, because you have I-295 going to Orange Park and to the airport.
Yeah.
That catches a lot. And then I heard they were talking about moving the fairgrounds from the stadium, TIA Bank Field, to somewhere. I think the Equestrian Center, but that might not go through. All of those kind of things you can build off of. But the reason why it can be difficult, because you got to get the city to buy into it, developers, city business partnerships, but it can happen. I've been told, oh, they won't do that. Nobody. Well, why is it when we want to do something for these communities, it's always you can't.
Right.
But when Sean Khan, which is a businessman, wants to tear down the off ramps to the Hart Bridge. Oh, done.
Right.
How much? 8 million, whatever.
Yeah.
And they just make it happen. So it's not impossible.
Right.
It's just difficult. And people have to, you have to have leadership to come in and say, why can we have this?
Yeah.
What's the future plan for it? Get with the city planners and say, this area is developing before factories like Amazon and Alta buy up all the land. Why don't we look at this as a anchor piece for the community to spur economic growth? Because right now, I don't see anything happening that would kind of.
And it would be something, because I guess people could say, well, isn't Amazon, you know, if they do buy, wouldn't that bring economic growth because they would create jobs? But that's not a Jacksonville.
Right.
It's not something that comes from Jacksonville for Jacksonville. Yeah, yes, people could work there, but this project sounds like it gives people more of a, not that Amazon would not be able to bring in jobs. Jobs are good. Obviously, we want people to work, but this is something that the community could actually have a, you know, a stake in. It sounds like where it's kind of like from Jacksonville, by Jacksonville, to have to benefit Jacksonville.
Yes.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of times we have these bigger companies that are coming in, which is great. You know, we want we want to spur business growth. We want that economic development. But we also need some staples that, you know, like a good classic, you know, something that can last a long time that people can say that they had some, buy into.
Yes. And that's just one project. It's something that's long-term. It's not going to happen the next day. One of my concerns about that particular part of town, which falls in the at-large five, is that they're buying up land all along 295 and they're putting factories there. Well, guess what's on the other side? You have these $600,000-$800,000 homes. And when you get zoning involved and they zone this property, who wants to have a nice, beautiful house? And next thing you know, instead of seeing a forest or a pond, you're looking at a factory and a forklift going by your backyard. Beep, 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 beep. You know who? And that all has to do with zoning. Now, you can't stop progress, but you can get in and say, we're going to create a law that if these mega factories come in, you have to build a buffer between a person's backyard and the factory, whether it's the increase of the land, trees, but it needs to be wide enough to where nobody's walking out of their backyard to drink their coffee and see a forklift and pallets
right
on the fence.
Right after you just paid, you know, $800,000 for your house. And, you know, even with cars, you can have, you go and you pay all this money for a car. And then when you drive around your neighborhood, you got to like bump along because the roads are so freaking torn up and stuff. And many, these are in predominantly Democrat-led cities, parts of town. What do you think about that? Like, why do, I guess that goes into what you're saying about parts of town have, it seems as though there's, you know, parts of town where that are mostly Republican ran, they look better, the roads are better, they're doing all this. And then you have, you know, the other sides of towns where they are predominantly ran by Democrats, and it's nothing, but people keep voting for these people.
Right. It's when you look at the city, when we talk about, you know, the consolidation from 1968, a lot of things were supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of promises made during the Mayor Hans Tansler years that we're going to get rid of all the septic tanks. We're going to do this. We're going to mm-hmm. that. Even when the Jaguars came, mm-hmm. oh, this is going to galvanize. And, you know, the Black community is going to get so much lies. Lies, all lies and deceptions. Now, somebody will be mad at me because I'm saying that, but there was no excuse for that. When they first started, and I'm gonna stay on the Jaguars for now, that stadium.
Yeah.
When they built it, it came out of the old Gator Bowl Stadium. The only thing from the Gator Bowl Stadium was the new part that they put up, made of concrete. The rest of it was torn down. It was pretty much steel. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting those men in the community, especially the East Side, who wanted to work, mm-hmm. they wanted to be a part of history. Mm-hmm. They brought in a lot of Mexican workers. Mm-hmm. This is a fact. And none of those men got employed. Mm-hmm. And people still remember that. So if you start out with deception, what do you think you're going to continue to have?
Yeah.
They could have employed those men and say, you're going to be a part of history. And they built it. And, you know, the Jaguars came and just the money that was supposed to flow and for the whole city, mm-hmm. it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it's not merely the Jaguars' responsibility. That's just one of the things that happened. Mm-hmm. And it's about priority. Yeah. They just don't find those areas as a priority for development. And we don't know why, but that's a council person's issue. They need to come together and say, hey, these things need to be done. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville is not a poor city. It's right. not cash strapped.
Right.
But the priority of what they want to do is what the problem is. Mm-hmm. You got to work between the mayor's office and the city council to get things done. People talk about it. Mm-hmm. They go to the meetings. They're voices that aren't heard.
Well, you know, speaking of the mayor, you know, considering that, you know, he was marching with BLM, our Republican mayor was marching mm-hmm. with BLM, you would think that these Black neighborhoods would be a priority.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, I would, if you're going to march with BLM and, you know, you got all this to say about, you know, this destructive group, about, you know, how you've evolved. I'm just curious, you know, I don't know. I'm just asking questions. I think we can still ask questions in America. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, it seems really suspect for a Republican mayor to be marching with such a destructive group, but there's no action behind, you know, those words and those, you know, those marches. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my 2 cents.
That's a part of PSYOP. You know, why would you want to come out? You know, this is, from what I understand, this is clearly a group that has nothing to do specifically with Black lives, mm-hmm. but hey, let's destroy the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. Let us get all of this money and we'll go buy our 10 mansions mm-hmm. and none of this money goes to where it's supposed to go.
Right.
Just do the research.
Right. Yeah.
about it.
That's true.
But for the mayor to say that, what his reasoning was and mm-hmm. why he said it, I can't get in his head, but it really bothers me that you would do that. And then specifically say, oh, I changed my narrative. Black lives matter. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but do Black neighborhoods matter? Mm. Do infrastructure matter? Mm. Where are we going with that? You can mm-hmm. say it out of your mouth, but the most important things that are needed, those issues aren't being addressed.
Right.
They aren't being addressed. And this is, we had a Black mayor. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of Republican mayors, and we have predominantly Black districts 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
And the progress, like I said, there's been some progress made, but not nearly enough. I mean, 30 years I've been gone, back and forth, and I'm not seeing any real change except factories, truck stops.
Your cameras are not deceiving you. Reginald is Black, and he is a Republican.
That's look.
He is a Republican, and, you know, I always say, typically, if you're Black and Republican, there's a story. So, were you always a Republican?
No, I was Democrat for a number of years. Then I was independent. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have my card, NPA, for probably almost 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
When Donald Trump came into office of the presidency, I really didn't think much. Never thought nothing much about Hillary. Everybody kind of liked Bill. Come on, let's just be real. Let's just be real about it. You know, Bill was cool, but when he came into office, he was actually talking mm-hmm. in a way that people weren't used to. He was really brash about it. But the thing about President Trump is he is who he was. He didn't change. Mm-hmm. And the establishment hated that.
Yep.
But what we didn't do, we didn't really have a full understanding that he's actually saying what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. We just wanted him to be presidential and say it, you know, this needs to be done. And he didn't say that. He said, you guys are garbage. It needs to be fixed.
Yeah. On both sides.
Yeah, on both sides.
On both sides.
In his inauguration, yeah. He said, while you guys, and he's talking about everybody, Black, whites, Hispanic, Asians, while you guys were struggling and doing bad, mm-hmm. these guys were prospering. Yeah. And he didn't say the Republicans. He didn't say the Democrats. He said all of them, mm-hmm. the entire establishment. So they didn't like that. In fact, I think it was something like 95% of Washington, D.C. did not vote for Trump, mm-hmm. meaning the Republicans and Democrats. The establishment, mm-hmm. period, did not like him. But there was a lot of things he said, the whole value system, with the Republican Party at the time really made me change, because there are some things that I just could not get with the Democratic Party. I'm mm-hmm. wondering why for decades and decades and decades they were in power, mm-hmm. but this community seemed to continue to crumble.
Right.
So I like the conservative values. I'm conservative. I always been, even when I was Democrat. And when I came back to Jacksonville and decided to run for city council, I did not want to run specifically as a Democrat, and I was, because I wasn't a Democrat, I was an MPA, mm-hmm. And I thought it would be better to just go with the party that had the same values that I had, mm-hmm. and that made me change from being a non-party affiliation to Republican.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So speaking of, you know, Democrat, Republican, and elections and things like that, in Jacksonville, our system is a little bit different. So most people think, you know, you have the primary and then you vote for either the Democrat or the Republican out of that primary. But in Jacksonville, it's a little bit different. Right. So it's not, why don't you explain?
Yeah, we have what's called a Unitarian system. Mm-hmm. Most people are accustomed to all of the Republicans will run against each other, and whoever wins will go against all of the Democrats who ran against each other. And then the Independent and Libertarian Party and all these would come in once the general election happens. In a Unitarian election, everybody is put in the race, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Unitarian, Tea Party, Green Party, whatever party you are, you have the election. And the two, if one person does not get 51% of the vote, mm-hmm. then the two highest vote getters, whether it's two Republicans, two mm-hmm. Democrats, a Republican and Independent, they go against each other and mm-hmm. everybody's out. And that's the Unitarian election. Then they go into the general election, and whoever wins after that is the council person. Someone wins outright, they don't have to have a general election. Mm-hmm. And that only happens in consolidated cities like ours, where mm-hmm. the city and the county are one.
Yeah.
So that's how that runs. Yeah. So that's why you see everybody on the ballot when you're voting in a Unitarian election.
Okay. So, and that, like you said, so our system changed to this new system back in the 60s?
In 1968, when the city consolidated.
Yeah, so we used to be the city and the county used to be separate.
Right. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have some old maps. Jacksonville, I think it stopped at, it might have went up to Sherwood, I don't know. But Jacksonville stopped somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
It wasn't very big. And then the rest was the county.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty fascinating. I'll put some pictures up here so you can mm-hmm. see what it used to look like and then what it became. And that's why we are the biggest city in the nation square foot wise or mileage wise or whatever. Not by population, but by, you know, the square footage or mileage or whatever, because of that consolidation. And right. with that is like what you were saying earlier was when the sewage systems were supposed, like all of these promises that were made, mm-hmm. promises made, promises were not kept. Probably because we didn't have Donald Trump, but anyway. But yeah. And so there are a lot of communities who bought into this this idea, was everybody on board with that, or was there like pushback? Or take us back to like what was happening.
Right. I'm not sure if everybody was into it. I think the city was having some financial problems and they had talked about it for years. So the decision was just made, okay, we are going to merge. And I think that's where the promises came at. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to be a good thing for everyone. And that's why everybody bought into it, because there was a lot of initiatives put in place that swayed people's opinion about either keeping the city separate or merging with the county. And that information was put out. And, and the sewage was one of them, that they were supposed to clean up all the septic tanks. And that brings me to one problem. They're still building housing in certain areas with septic tanks. Even though they're modern septic tanks, why would you do that? Why the developers, especially these large housing developers, should have to either find a way to tap into city systems, or that should be a part of their property when they're building these large neighborhoods. It should be a part of it, so you're not having to deal with that issue. But they're building these individual houses and they have septic tanks, and I'm looking at it and saying, well, isn't that going to be a problem 15 20 years from now? And now you have the same thing going on,
right? And that's just going to cost the city more money, but it's still a selling point, because every, you know, these candidates, they get up there and they're like, we're going to fix the septic tank systems. And it's like, it's almost like they want the problem to continue to exist so they can have a platform to run on to promise you something that they ain't, they're really not going to do. It's really annoying. But anyway, so what else do you, what are some of the other things that you would like to see? I know you said infrastructure, being a part of the Republican Party now and seeing what's going on inside of our Republican Party. What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of politicians, a lot of non-politicians, people who have been around here a while, who says currently the Republican Party is unlike anything they've seen. They've never seen it this bad. And I'm just relaying what people say. There are a small group of people who have come into this town from wherever, California. And they have actually came into the government under whatever tents, you know, and they are actually having a large say-so in the entire political structure. And their thing is to infiltrate, the city council, handpick candidates that will do their bidding. And I don't have any problem with you wanting to push a good candidate forward. But here's where the problem comes in. That when you say we have a formula to promote our candidate and demonize everybody else, even if it's within our party. So basically the word is, we don't eat our young, we don't eat our members, our own. But you don't eat them, you kill them and you burn them. And that's been the process. You're taking people who you don't desire, and you're really creating, you're creating discord, because if you're demonizing half your candidates because they may support somebody, and you say, we're going to push this person and we're going to just level everybody else. The problem comes in with this is when your mailers and things they send out, whether they're PACs that have nothing to do with the city, but they're connected to high officials in the party, put out lies, deception. And that's what happens when you doctor photos, making a person look like they don't even look. When you're taking a picture where somebody's doing this and you're saying, look, he's making a racial slur with his head, you know, just crazy stuff like that. And you're sending this citywide. That is, that's not good. That's not good at all. It hurts the city. It especially hurts the party.
And you know, it's another type of psychological operation, if you ask me, because you're, it's basically propaganda. You're putting out a message that's just not true, and you're deceiving the people. So you're taking their money because they're donating. You're taking their vote because they're believing all, you know, their mailbox is getting flooded, their phone is getting flooded with messages, their TV is getting flooded because these people have a lot of money. And so they can put out, you know, widespread campaigns on all these different platforms. And many times it's just not the truth.
And it's been a winning formula for them. They brought it here. It's almost like, particular locusts coming in the city and ravaging everything. And once they get all the money they get, then they move on to another place if they can't make what they're doing permanent. But what's most disturbing is the people who have been here who buy into it. PSYOP again, if we can continue to demonize over and over and over again, people begin to believe it. So now it's not about who's the best candidate. Like, let those two Republicans or those two Democrats, and the Democratic Party is a part of it too. Let them run against each other and see who's the best one and let the championship fight. They don't want that. They want their guy They don't care who he is,
yeah,
as long as it's their guy. And what people, and oh, they're going to get me for this one. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party will support a Democrat if that Democrat can be controlled. Mm-hmm. When you get to a certain level, it's not about your party affiliation. It's about who you want, mm-hmm, and how you need to push the narrative,
yeah,
to control the entire city to the way you want it to go.
Right.
The and a lot of people won't even say
party.
That. Yes. Yes. Yeah. They don't care about party affiliations. They want power and control, mm-hmm, and it's disturbing because it's not good for the city long term. This right. is only good for individuals, mm-hmm, and their power structure.
Yeah. And you know, what bothers me about those types of things, it's like, you know, everybody knows the Republican Party is mostly older people.
Yes.
And it's like, you've raised your kids. Some of them have even, you know, their grandkids are adults. Mm-hmm. And
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You have you don't care about this next generation that's coming up. You don't care about, you know, the city or the state or the country, mm-hmm, that you are leaving behind. Like you said, it's just only about their individual personal goals that they want to push. They, mm-hmm, could give a flip about the next generation that is coming up that has to live with these bad decisions, because most of the time, the people that they are pushing have no, they don't vote for things that are actually good for the city or good for the state. They vote many times along with the Democrats. I mean, quite honestly. Right. And so it's like, we're paying for our own demise and destruction. We vote, yeah, and we donate for our taxes to be raised,
right,
for men to be in women's bathrooms, because here in, yeah, Jacksonville, we have a Republican mayor, and we have a majority Republican city council, but this city council voted to put men in women's bathrooms. We've, yes, had our taxes raised multiple times, mm-hmm, while, you know, inflation is going on and, you know, all of these things. So it just becomes very, it doesn't seem like these people are really Republicans. It just, right, doesn't seem like, you know, we're supposed to be the party of having a standard. We're supposed to be the party of the people that care about, mm-hmm, the citizens. But when we get these people in office, they do not seem to care, right, about the next generation that's coming up. And it's very hard to remain silent. It's very hard to, for me, I don't know, for me, it's hard to remain silent. It's hard to remain committed to something that you see is just tearing your city down. It's really quite, yeah, sad. And then here's the kicker, but wait, there's more.
We have more. That's not it.
That's not it. When you speak out, people, even in your party, who are not, we're not talking about the leadership, sometimes leadership too, but the people are more upset with you about speaking out than they are about the person who's actually doing the corruption.
Right.
What in the world? How are you going to be more upset with the person that's actually trying to tell you, hey, look, everybody, these people are using you, they're playing you, your vote is not, you know, you're voting for your own destruction. How are you going to be more upset with them than you are about those who are actually doing the crimes, the corruption?
It's called the art of personality. Remember that song? Mm.
No, I don't. Who sang that song?
Personality.
Oh, you can sing too?
Yes. Meaning that that's a part of PSYOP. A person can be so charismatic, and be the lyingest sheep in the flock. But because, well, he's so charismatic. Mm-hmm. He's so good looking. Well, from what I understand, Satan was good looking. Mm. And they can be so persuasive with their personality that you will buy a lie just because of the person.
Yeah.
And the person that's telling you the truth, you push him back.
Yeah.
And that's a part of the charisma of some leaders.
Yeah.
And we don't. And that's why I tell a lot of people across the board, most of my friends vote Democrat. I mean, I come from the Black community. That's where I live.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, pay attention and research, because we don't do that enough.
Right.
Pay attention and research and look at what they're doing, and then you can make a better decision. But it seems like people are more loyal to the party than the actual idea of a person who's actually going to do something.
Right. And, you know, they get manipulated. And I think that's what happens. It's very cult-like. Now, I think that the Democrat Party in itself is a cult. But we do have these blind followers of leaders in the Republican Party as well. You know, I'll talk to different people and they'll say, well, what do you think about this candidate? Oh, I've known them since they were 12. You know, their daughter used to babysit for me. And I'm like, well, I don't think that they're thinking about you as much as you're thinking about them, because when they go and vote, they're voting against your best interest. Right. So because you knew them when they were 12 and, you know, little Johnny was just so cute. Little Johnny, he's not the same anymore. You know, he's made a backdoor deal that you were not in on. And you think that you're voting for, you know, an upstanding guy, and I know his family, but little Johnny was like, you know what, I'm taking a different direction, and I'm not going to think about you when legislation comes on my desk. I'm thinking about myself.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
That's important, the legislation. I know that, you know, as a city council member, you don't just get elected and you just walk in office and everybody's going to kiss the ring and bow down to your objectives. It just doesn't work like that. And in Jacksonville in particular, you got to rely on the majority of vote of 19 other or 18. You're the 19th other council members to get legislation passed. But since you were talking about the HRO, the bathroom bill, that's major.
Yeah,
because a majority, predominantly Republican, conservative legislative body, with men and women, husbands and wives, to say yes to a bill that, as far as I'm concerned, endangers your daughter, your spouse, your mother, anybody female, to have some man to just walk in the restroom and basically look at you and say, well, there's nothing you can do. And I wonder, do those lawmakers really believe that it can't happen to them? Because a lot of them they're in these country clubs and they think, oh, it's not going to happen to me. My kids go to these prestigious schools, but it can happen and it will happen.
Yeah, we have there was a story a month ago where this woman who let her daughter go to the bathroom at Michael's, and there was a man coming out of the bathroom with her, I think it was her daughter's like 12. Wow. And can you imagine? You can't even go to like a restaurant. And, you know, 12, 13, most families, you know, like, okay, yeah, you need to go to the bathroom. You're not following your kid in there, you know, when they're that age. But now you have to. You have to change your entire life, because now our city has voted for men to be able to go in women's bathrooms. And it totally dismisses the protection of biological women.
Right.
And you have Republicans who have voted for that. And I find that particularly really disgusting, considering all of the things that we have going on in our schools with things like this. Just yesterday, I saw a story where, Scott Smith, who was a father of he was arrested in Loudoun County, Virginia, where his daughter was sexually assaulted in a bathroom at school with a boy who came in there with a dress on. That boy just got convicted.
He got convicted,
but that father was arrested because the school board was not doing anything to protect.
They covered it up. And the police are the one that said, oh, yeah, there was a report done.
And they were trying to say, we had never heard of the story. We don't know what he's talking about. He's crazy, you know? But I just, you know, for fathers having to, I mean, I'm not a father, but you know, when you fathers are natural protectors, providers, and when you hear stories like that, you know, it's hard to think about that because it's a little girl, you know, that's your baby, that's your daughter.
I think over the decades, our society has been so dumbed down until we still believe in the deity of people in, you know, elected in political office. We just have that side. Okay, they're wow, they're an official.
Yeah.
And then when things like this happen, the people are so numb. Like I sit in a room and actually chastise the men. Why are you all not down at the school board meeting?
Yeah.
Why is myself and just a couple of other people there? I say the women are in there in mass, but where are the men?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what happened. There is a certain group of men.
Yeah.
Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh, yes.
Those Muslim men checked everybody because they stood up and shut that school board down. He had to be 100 of them.
Yeah.
And they said, you will not push this stuff on our kids. We'll not have men going in restroom on our daughters.
Yeah.
But here I'm noticing the men are just, and some of them are fathers, they're like numb to the fact that somebody's even challenging that. Almost like, well, they said it, so I guess we got to go by it.
I don't want to be called, you know, some phobic, you know,
and it's bathroom like, phobic.
Yeah, transphobic or whatever. And it's like, that is so not the point. The point is we have to protect children. You have to protect children in your society. Yeah. Otherwise, like, what are we doing? What are you even bothering to run for office for if you're not going to protect?
And that's a society norm. I mean, we do that. Men over here, women over there.
Yes.
We respected that. But you have some people with bad intentions who want to skew the line between children, what's right and wrong, what's acceptable, and they want to just be able to railroad everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening, and nobody's really doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Well, you got people fighting for it, but the fact that you have these men who are on the council who actually said, oh, yeah, it's okay. I said, it's just, what?
Yeah. Only it's a... Quite, a the, yeah, it was... It was a small few that voted against it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you expect Democrats to vote for stuff like that, but you don't expect for Republicans to vote for stuff like that. And it's like when I hear, you know, certain officials, you know, talk about the Democrats, you know, they will tell all the Democrats are this and the Democrats are that. And, you know, we're going to crush them and this. And it's like, yeah, but you just literally voted for people to go in women's bathrooms, or you are silent.
Right.
Because silence, in my mind, is being complicit. Especially when you have a leadership position, silence is being complicit. Mm-hmm. Don't you guys have like something y'all say or something like that in the military? Like, I don't know. Don't y'all have some kind of like, you know, if you see something, you have to say something when you see things going wrong. I don't know. Is it like a...
Yeah, the military is the military, as long as you have good leadership, is structured in a way to where, I mean, just think like this, and I'm going to give you some combat situations. If you unleash the American soldier, they will decimate. That's why you have to have strong order and discipline, UCMJ. You have to really come down because if you have a lax army with the kind of weaponry and power we have, you get these young boys out here, they'll destroy an entire city in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
That's why you have to hold those reins because they will tear up some stuff, the U.S. Army. So you have to have disciplinary measures in charge. I don't know if you remember the My Lai massacre back in Vietnam, but that's where... You know, a soldier was killed and, you know, they took revenge and ended up almost destroying a whole village. Bad leadership.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you don't have good leadership or things in place.
Yeah.
But there was somebody who told, you know, there was somebody who told. And usually during that era, it was just a rough time. It's hard to do that now without somebody speaking up and saying, wait a minute, hold up. We're not doing this. I was in that position. And I'll share this with you. It's not top secret. In Afghanistan, we have what's called a FOB, forward operating base. Well, we hire locals to man some of the gates, you know, and to do different things to clean up. And there was this soldier who was calling this guy, come here, Haji, come here doing this. And that's a derogatory name. It's like, you're an entity. Come here, Haji. And, you know, I wasn't even a sergeant of the guard, but I came. I was a ranking person. So I said, wait a minute, stop. I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Hakmid. So I said, okay, Hakmid. I said, looked at my soldier. His name is Hakmid. Are we clear? And that's how you're addressing. Gave the head nod. He said, yes, sergeant. problem solved.
Mm.
But just think
just
about
like
it.
Like that.
Yeah, just like that. Think about it. There were no order and discipline.
Right.
They would have abused them. Eventually, it can get physical if you don't control them.
Yeah.
You know, the American soldier isn't bad. It's just in those environments, just like the Republican Party, Democratic Party, if you don't control these people, they will run absolutely wild.
Yes, absolutely. And that's human nature.
That's human nature.
It's human nature. Mm-hmm. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So we're not, I understand exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I totally love and respect our military. I totally love and respect our country. I love and respect the Republican Party platform. What we say we believe, mm-hmm. but I want to be able to love and respect the leaders.
Right.
I want to be able to respect the leaders. And it's hard to do that.
Right.
Because you see so much nonsense. Mm-hmm. And it's like we don't have time for these games when our country is literally about to fall off a freaking cliff. We don't have time for people to come in and, you know, just be in this thing for themselves.
Yes.
Like, you know,
especially at this time.
Yeah. Oh, like, what kind of leadership, what kind of legacy are you leaving? You're just going to get in office and, you know, be a do nothing and just go in there and do whatever, all these policies that are going to benefit you and your own self and leave everybody else behind. Right. And I think that's kind of like what you were doing. You were saying, no, okay, we're going to respect this person because I don't know, in my mind, that person can turn into like a, you know, somebody that can help the military. Like, right. say, hey, oh, right. this
that's
person.
That's exactly what it is. This guy is helping guard us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're disrespecting them like that. This guy can easily turn on you. And, you know, fortunately, these people don't have weaponry, but just think, I say, you don't disrespect them just because we are in charge.
Right.
That's not what you do. And since we're talking about accountability and stuff, I do want to talk about leadership when it comes to council, but let's look at it from a presidential perspective.
Okay.
Obama, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. I often say we as a people really failed when I'm talking about Black people, or Barack Obama, because we didn't want to hold them accountable for anything. We were excited. Mm-hmm. We heard the first Black president and everything, but you never held them accountable to anything.
Wow.
In other words, he had an agenda. Mm-hmm. Presidents have their top five or top 10.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't ask for anything.
Mm.
We asked for nothing as people, and people use the excuse, well, he's the president of all the people. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But even he said in his last 2 years, what can I do to help you all?
Mm-hmm.
But we were still at the party 2009, celebrating and jumping up and down. And when he left office, Trump comes in and says, you all are asking me for things. What happened to the last presidency? Donald Trump came in, and here's where Black people got it wrong.
Mm.
He came in and said, I'm going to do more for Black Americans than any other president has done. Bam. That's a vetting tool.
Yes.
Good leaders could have said, okay, Mr. President, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 boom. And you can hold him accountable to that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody held Barack Obama accountable to anything.
Mm.
He's our first Black, and we're good.
That is a very low bar.
It is a low bar.
All you got to do is be Black and smooth and cool. Mm-hmm. You know, that is, I can't stand the idea. We diminish ourselves.
We
to
have been
want
conditioned,
nothing.
Yes, to just celebrate that. And that was it. And the one thing I wanted to hit as far as is President Trump, he even said, you might not like me, but look at what I'm doing.
Mm.
I'm holding myself accountable to what you want. In other words, let's look at 50 Cent and Ice Cube when we talk about the Platinum Plan.
The Platinum Plan,
which the Democrats just put off. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have anything to do with that. So they go over to Trump and he says, I'm a businessman. That looks good. Let's go forward with it. And these two very popular rappers got demonized because, well, you're working with the Trump administration.
Yeah.
So we're not supposed to get anything as a community, as a nation, because you don't like the guy.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
And they got leveled for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even Tavis Smiley said at the end of Barack Obama's presidency, Black Americans will have fallen economically and business wise in every area.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't saying I'm bashing Trump. I'm bashing Obama. He was just saying, unfortunately, this is where we are, whether it's his fault or not.
Yeah.
And they really leveled Tavis Smiley for that. It's just, that's a part of holding leadership accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. President, Barack.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're hurting in these areas. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Nobody would do that.
Right.
Trump laid it out and said, I'm going to do this. Black leaders should have said, okay, you laid it out. We're going to make sure that you meet those goals and objectives. Mm-hmm. But because of psychological operations, mm-hmm. We're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
We don't like them. You're racist. And I said, oh, my gosh.
And I was just going to say that because anytime anybody tried to hold him accountable, mm-hmm. they were deemed a racist. Now, it would make sense if the person that they were criticizing, if Barack Obama was actually doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, for if he was actually doing things. And then they said, OK, well, you know why? But he wasn't even doing anything. To aid and to help the people who got him elected. He wasn't doing anything. And I mean, Biden too.
Yeah,
Biden has not. You got crack pipes from Biden. That's what he did. He gave you some crack pipes. Yeah. He had the CBC, the Congressional Black Caucus. I forget exactly what group they are, the NAACP. And he told them, he said, you better go over to go team up with the Hispanics because we ain't got nothing for ya. Okay. And if you try to bring this up to Black people, what's the first thing that you hear when you are showing them what the Democrats have done or are doing? What's the first thing they say?
Oh,
Biden's failures.
Trump.
Trump. They always bring it back to Donald Trump as if he's still the president.
What I thought Black leaders were going to do when Donald Trump on his presidency, he asked, why was the United Negro College Fund? Mm, mm-hmm. They came to certify. They have to certify every year for funding. Mm-hmm. And he said, why you have to come back every year?
Yeah.
Donald Trump made it permanent. Mm-hmm. Biden comes into office and says, screw that. And from what I understand, he cut almost $50 billion over a period of years. Mm-hmm. Not one Black leader stood up and said, wait a minute. Not one, at least that I know of, said anything about it. And that, to me, that was an atrocity.
Yeah.
Also, you know, when we talk about prison reform, when mm-hmm. we talk about the First Step Act, mm-hmm. Alice Johnson, the lady that was in prison for one drug charge at mm-hmm. 19 or 20, and they had life in prison, and all of those presidents passed her. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump comes in and said, this is not right. Now, one thing I will credit Bill Clinton for, mm-hmm. he said that I made a mistake with the three strikes, you're out policy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was going to be used like it was used. And I really apologize because a lot of people went to prison that shouldn't have went. Mm-hmm. Trump kind of piggybacks on that, got Alice Johnson out of prison. Mm-hmm. And when he did his State of the Union address and talked about that, there was a lot of the squad and all of those women, and they're white. Wouldn't even clap. He said, even when it benefits Black people, they still just sitting there looking like this. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi tears up. Yeah. And these were about Black people, which showed me they care nothing about us. When there was something that benefit us, they're so mad at him mm-hmm. that y'all don't matter. Y'all are trash to us too. And she tears it up in front of the entire world.
Yeah. And you know what? What I've come to learn, because, you know, it's a lot of times we think it's, you know, because you're Black or, you know, mm-hmm. that you're a Democrat and all this stuff. And it's like, well, when I moved over to I am Black. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. and when you are a Democrat, you know, everything is fine. Like, it doesn't matter what the president or what your local leaders are doing or whoever. If you're Black and Democrat, you're good. You can literally, you can do anything you want. Nobody's going to hold you accountable. Nobody's going to question you. Mm-hmm. The moment you're Black, now you're still Black, and you go over to the Republicans. Now you are the C word. Now you are, you know, you're a sellout. Now you, you know, you hate yourself. You are, you know, all the names that they want to call you. What I have learned is not about being Black, because my Blackness ain't going nowhere. It's about being a Democrat. And that's why I say the Democrat Party is a cult, because they will always, it's like they own your blackness and it belongs to Democrats. And you can't, they own your vote, and you cannot make any other decisions but to stick with this party. Otherwise, you're shunned.
Right.
You know?
I really don't understand, you know, overall the black voter, because when Biden says, if you don't vote for me, you're not black, black leaders should have leveled them. In other words, accountability. If we as a group collectively held everyone accountable, we would be in a lot better position, because there's more black millionaires in America than anywhere in the world. But as collectively as a group, we don't do very well. And when Biden said that, our black leaders should have leveled him for that, because he's basically saying, you know, you're going to vote for me, period. And if you're not, no matter what.
Yeah.
That one really bothered me, because our leaders didn't say anything about it. Yeah. Al Sharpton, none of these people said they won't hold Biden accountable for anything in the stuff that he says out of his mouth about black people.
Yeah.
And, to me, what you were saying about the party, it's because of the party mentality where your Democrat don't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who I asked a couple of young ladies the other day, historically, who is Lieutenant Governor of Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
So do you know who she is? They said, no. They were having a Trump fit then.
Okay.
No. And I said, Winsome Shears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought she was from Haiti, but she's actually from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you don't know, you haven't heard of her? No. I said, well, why? I said, you watch CNN, MSNBC? Okay, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to talk about, this is a black woman, second generation, I think, that came over, Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, the first.
Yeah, the first.
And the only reason why, and she's when I say real black woman, meaning she's not, you know, all stuff.
She's not ambiguous.
Yeah, she's not from Harvard. She's real. And they only... They do not talk about her only because she's Republican.
That's it.
But she is a straight up black woman,
mm-hmm.
and they won't even clap and say that's a good feat. Joy Reid and all of these television personalities that were
tabloid host.
Tabloid news people would not even have anything positive to say about her, only because of her party affiliation.
Yeah,
and that's a shame.
It is a shame, because it says that we don't require anything. It says that I read in Jason Riley's book, he wrote, it's called Don't Just Leave Us Alone. Basically, it's like, just leave black people alone. Like, we don't need the Democrats. Don't help, because your help is trash. And Dr. Carol Swain was quoted in the book, and she wouldn't say what black congressional Democrat said this. And she said that they said, quote, you can be a baby RAPER and black people will still vote for you.
Yeah.
A black congressional elected official said this.
Yeah.
And I can't even say that he's wrong. I mean, look at Warnock. He's a pastor who believes in abortion up until the moment of birth. Nobody has anything to say about that. Nobody. And he's supposed to be a man of faith. And it's like, you can literally say or do anything as long as you are a Democrat.
Right.
Doesn't matter. There is no accountability.
Yeah, they... All I would keep hearing is, what do you feel about Herschel? And it just really bothered me, because I said, well, first of all, I never liked University of Georgia. I don't really know Herschel Walker's platform.
Mm-hmm.
But for the things that my black brother and sister were saying, he's stupid, he's dumb, he's ignorant, just horrible things. I said, you know what? I don't agree with most of everything that Warnock does, because I do know a little bit more about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the abortion, the trans that he's in support of, and he's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't call him stupid and ignorant and dumb and all of these just derogatory words.
Mm-hmm.
He had some problems with his wife,
mm-hmm.
but nobody ever talks about that. They just talk about her.
Ran her over.
Yeah, and she talked about it.
Yes.
And, you know, black people didn't say, it's almost like it doesn't exist. Why?
Because he's a Democrat.
Because he's a Democrat. And that's it.
And it's a cult. And I'm telling you, it's that should make you question something. That should make you think like, okay, why am I not questioning this person over here? Even if you are a Republican, if you are seeing people constantly vote against the things that you want, you should question why you keep voting for this. You should get involved. You should actually, you know, don't be swayed by, you know, every piece of mail, and don't be pressured by every commercial. And actually, I mean, we literally have technology and a computer like at the palm of our hand. You can go and look up what how these people vote. You can go and look up statements that they've made in the past. Right. And, you know, as we wrap this up, tell us a little bit more about what you plan on doing and where you want to see the party going.
Well, as far as the Republican Party, I really don't like the word diverse because they mess it up so much with all kinds of stuff. But for the sake of this interview, it needs to be more diverse because people need to see that they have a place. As to because if we're going to say, well, the Democrats don't do anything for you, this, that, we're a great party, we're American. What are they coming to? Mm-hmm. When they see pictures of people that don't even look like them, their perception is that, well, that's not a place for me. In other words, I'm not saying just create something just because you're Black or Asian, but show the party for what it really is. Talk about your platform and talk about why you should either, because Black people come out of the Republican Party. A lot of them don't even know that. They come. That's where we come from. The Republican Party started changing around the late 40s, 50s, 60s. And Johnson pushed it over the top by saying, I'm going to put everybody on welfare, the great, you know,
great society.
Great society. And there we go. Mm-hmm. But the Republican Party can, their marketing really needs to be revised.
It sucks.
It's horrible, especially at here at the local level. They have probably about 0.1% pi equals MC squared percent of knowledge about what is needed. And the people who come to them, that leadership, they put it down. Oh, we're good. Our marketing is good. Really? I said,
oh, I know what you mean. It's good for your candidates. Oh, I got you. Yeah, now I understand. Yes. Okay. For your candidates. Yeah. It's precision perfection. Yeah.
Yeah. They need to get people who really have an understanding of the demographics of this city, especially in Jacksonville. They just need to be reformed all the way across the board.
Yeah.
Because right now what I'm seeing is a party that's been, I can't even say politicized, but personalized with a bunch of people who have only their agenda. They have nothing that they stand on other than everything needs to be red.
Right.
They have nothing that they're pushing other than we're doing good because we won. We flipped the school board. Did you? Really? Okay. You might have two conservatives over there, but you have some purple reds.
And if you got that.
Yeah.
Because so, we just had a vote last night for comprehensive sex ed, which is furthering, you know, trans in your kids and pouring in the books and all of that. And guess what we had? A 5-2 vote.
Wow.
So you tell me if we flipped the Duval County School Board, but let them tell it. We did.
Right. The local party really does not stand for much in the way of who we are as a party. Everything is about, we want to just have a bunch of Republicans, but we're standing on nothing. And nationally, that'll end up having some real bad implications, because what you're saying is, I just want Republicans, but there's nothing we stand on.
Right.
And that's not going to work long term.
It's not going to work.
So I want to see a better party. I want to see a more diverse party that has better outreach. We're getting older. All our kids are liberal. Mm-hmm. Well, I have four. Two of them are Republican. Mm-hmm. The other two are Democrat and one is on the fence. Yeah. So I got a little bit of work to do.
It's true. You know, they sent their kids, y'all sent y'all kids. to these universities and they came out, they need to be deprogrammed. And so, you know, your kids aren't even Republican. You couldn't even convince your children to stay with, you know, your values. So it's like, what good is it to get somebody who's has the R by their name, but they're not going to vote for conservative Republican values. It just makes no sense.
The party needs to be more than just, we're all Republican and we're winning the seats. No, I want to see a party that's actually bringing up the best candidates who stand on these values and be concrete about it. You know, when I did a speech the other night running for vice chair, I said, when right and wrong is involved, there is no neutral. You're either right or wrong. When you have people in office, and their integrity and honesty has been compromised, and you still vote them, then what you're saying is we don't care what bad they're doing, long as they bring Republicans in.
Right.
And that makes for a bad, bad party.
Yeah.
And I want to see that straightened out. And in the city, we have to hold these so-called conservative candidates accountable.
Yes.
You know, if that means primarying them out, then that's what we do. I don't think the narrative of if they're, you know, we have this unwritten rule that if they are in office and they only have one term, we can do another one. We have to vote for them. No, we don't.
That's right.
No, we don't. That's why everything is happening, because I don't even know why they're in office, because they're not voting based on the principles of the party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. So why don't you let everybody know where they can get to your website and donate to you? And please, everybody, please donate. So because it is tough when you have a grassroots candidate, when you have somebody who is not a part of that establishment machine, but they are competing against that machine. So we desperately need that help to beat it. Right. It's true. If you want good governance, you're going to have to help these grassroots candidates. So why don't you tell everyone where they can go for that?
Okay. Well, you can look me up. It's www.voterkblunt.com. Voterkblunt.com. And you can go to the donation page. It is very important that we win this seat, because if at-large five, there's only five at-large seats. If at-large five falls to the establishment, they control everything without any resistance, because most of them, and I don't want to call names, but most of them vote not based on what the people want, but what a small group of powerful elites want. Mm-hmm. So we have to win this seat. Again, go to voterkblunt.com. I am Reginald Blunt. I'm running for city council at large, group five. I am a native of Jacksonville. Okay, so this is home for me. I'm not going anywhere. The I don't want to say the enemy, but the other opponents, they're paying for their candidate to win, whether it's thousands of dollars in mailers. So we have to keep our donations going, and we have to keep them up in order to be competitive in this race.
Mm-hmm. That is true. As always, thank you so much for watching. And don't forget to like this video, share this video, share this with your friends, and please smash that subscribe button so you can get more great content like this. Thank you guys for watching. I will see you next time. Bye-bye. Bye.